I don't know if the Apostle Paul hosted ministry and member information lunches, but he certainly fielded a lot of questions about what this thing called church was supposed to look like and what it really means to follow Jesus. Sometimes Paul was asked questions in person and he answered in person, and so we have no way of knowing what he said. But other times the questions came to him by letter or by messenger, and he wrote his answers down. And those writings survived and were included in the Bible. And so in the letter to the Romans, for example, we have a record of a discussion about different religious practices and whether some are better than others. It seems that the questions people had at that time and in that situation were along the lines of, are there certain dietary practices which all Christians should adhere to? Is there a day of the week which is more sacred than other days and should be observed in a special way? The reason those questions were surfacing is because, just like us, the people of those newly forming churches were not all from the same background. Some had always belonged to a tradition which considered certain types of food to be off limits for religious reasons, and set aside the 24 hours of the day between Friday at sunset and Saturday at sunset to be qualitatively different from the rest of the week. Others in the bunch had no familiarity with these habits. They might have had a completely different religious background or no religious heritage at all. Among the would-be followers of the Christian way, arguments were breaking out on these subjects, and some people were insisting that their way was the right way, and they, therefore, were superior in faithfulness to others in the fellowship. Let's read what Paul had to say. This is Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on the servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Clearly, Paul was eager to put an end to petty arguments among his fellow believers. The bottom line for Paul was that God has welcomed all of us, and it is not up to us to judge individual variations on how each of us chooses to honor God. If some of us find that periodic fasting or limiting our diet to certain foods helps us express our faithfulness to God, great. If others can live in a permanent state of gratitude to God without observing special days or diets, great. We don't belong to ourselves anyway. We are living to the Lord, which means that the only one we have to think about pleasing is God. God is the judge, and we can each concentrate on our own manner of living and dying, not each other's. Within our church, the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, we have people who have spent their entire lives as Methodists. And we have people who were raised in other strands of the Christian tradition, and at some point along the way, deliberately made a change because the strand that they were part of no longer seemed to be the right container for their faith journey, and this one seems, at least for this time, to be a better match. We have people here who rarely or never went to church at all until they stepped through these doors and it was all new to them. We have people who practice daily meditation as learned from Eastern wisdom traditions. We have people who attend a weekly contemplative prayer session sponsored by a Catholic-based organization. We have people who've made an extensive study of Sufism, Islam, or Buddhism. We have people who are profoundly committed to reading and understanding the Bible, and others who are profoundly committed to service and mission. We are a mosaic of people living out our best understanding of a faithful life honoring God. Paul affirmed that there is no reason for any of us to try to look just like the person sitting next to us. We are not trying to be all the same shape or all the same color. We are simply trying to give glory to the same God. Now, this is not to say that we have no rhyme or reason to the choices we make or the practices that we take up. As Paul emphasized, we will each be accountable to God. And so we remain always mindful of Jesus' primary teaching that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We remember that Jesus was emphatic about not neglecting to practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness. In Jesus' words, we hear the echo of prophets before him who also proclaimed, God requires that we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. At PBUMC, we have identified our purposes for existence as to love and worship God, to grow in grace and faith, to care for one another, and to reach out to others. When we say that we love and worship God, we understand that we put our commitment into practice by participating in a weekly worship service. We have three different times and two different styles, so everyone can choose what fits them best. And we hope excuses for not participating have been significantly reduced. Further, we love and worship God through our own habits of daily prayer or daily devotional reading, through the generous giving of ourselves, our talents, and our resources in order to be used as God sees fit, and through the deliberate organization of our lives to allow for adequate rest, good nutrition, healthy exercise, and time to simply enjoy this beautiful world God has created. Again, some people pray by singing, and some by writing in a journal. Some people take long walks. Others prefer to putter in the garden. Some follow a raw food diet, and some find a high-protein diet optimizes their health. But we are all deliberately doing these four things as an expression of our love and our worship of God. When it comes to the generous giving of income, Some have established the habit of meeting the biblical expectation of at least 10%. Some are working up to it, and some are eagerly moving beyond to discover what God will do in their lives and in the world using these resources. Many of us begin each day by praying that God will use our time, our talent, and our resources and help us to focus on the things that would be most beneficial on that particular day to the building of God's kingdom. Beyond loving and worshiping God, it is our desire to grow in the ability to receive and to share God's grace, to grow also in the depth of understanding of our faith. God has given us the Bible, and we want to learn what's in it. God has given us each other, and we want to learn from each other's experience and example. We want to learn meaningful ways of praying, effective ways of being helpful to other people, respectful ways of working alongside people of other religious and faith traditions. And so the church, across the age spectrum, children, youth, adults, the church gathers for classes and small groups, retreats and seminars, projects and programs that are meant to help us become more faithful and more grace-filled followers of Jesus Christ. Those who teach are fully aware that they are also still learning. And those who come to learn are already teaching by their presence and by their example. At PBUMC, we offer what learning and growth opportunities we can, and we also publicize some opportunities that other churches and other faith-based organizations are offering. We do not envision that everybody is going to be able to attend everything. In fact, we doubt there's anybody who can attend everything, but we encourage everyone to find something that helps you walk more closely with God. Our worship and our faith development would not be complete if we were not reaching out to others. We would be missing the point of the Christian church entirely if we were to decide we want to keep God's blessings all to ourselves. This, of course, is another case where nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something, whether it's inviting a friend to church with you or volunteering once a week at the local homeless assistance center, or joining an environmental cleanup project, or traveling to another country to share the good news of God's love. If I could ask every church member to do one thing just once, it would be to come down here some Wednesday evening and see what our ministry looks like on those nights. Our church dedicates a significant amount of space and energy and money to our Wednesday night ministry. And so it truly is a ministry of the whole church. I find it extremely moving to hear the gratitude expressed by hungry people who come for a free meal and sick people who come in search of health care and find someone willing to talk to them. It is equally moving to see the student interns who operate those free medical and dental clinics huddled in hallways and meeting rooms, listening intently as their patients describe what they are suffering. It's heartwarming to see the smiles on the faces of the law students who realize that with their knowledge, they are actually able to help someone, and the respect with which the acupuncture clinic is set up and operated. If you want to discover why we reach out to others, our Wednesday night ministry would be a good place to start. It is a time-honored saying that we Christians can be recognized by our love, and that includes our love for one another. We care for one another in a myriad of ways, some as simple as wearing a name tag so that we can call our new friends by their names and so that newcomers can start right away getting to know who we are. We serve coffee and bring cookies and deliver flowers and offer rides and send out prayer requests and plan picnics so that everyone within our family of faith will feel a sense of welcome and belonging. We come up with ways on our own, ways which are not part of any specific program or design, to express our concern and our support for one another. We make an effort to manifest our care for one another, even when we disagree on theology, on goals, and on the right way to get things done. We always come back to Paul's advice: welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. We, in fact, recognize that we are not the ones to judge whose faith is strong and whose is weak. Our job is simply to live to the Lord. Living to the Lord means living within the framework that Christ's life, example, teachings, death, and resurrection create for us. A framework of loving God with heart and mind and soul and strength, compassionately caring for one another, seeking justice through continual outreach, service, and advocacy, and walking ever more humbly and faithfully with God. Our many different ways of honoring God within this framework do not prevent us from saying together, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you." In fact, the diversity of our voices make our song all the more rich and lovely. Since it is God who upholds all of us, we enter as one into our time of prayer. Gracious God, though the outward patterns of our lives may vary, we have this in common. We are here before you, pouring out our prayers in the hope and the confidence that you will comfort us, guide us, heal us, and care for the lives of those we love. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those struggling in the storm and those who come to rescue. We pray for those who mourn, in particular all the families and friends impacted by the train crash in Los Angeles. Lord, we pray for those who are seeking work. We give thanks with those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and special occasions of any kind. We give thanks with those who have had or are currently now enjoying opportunity for travel or rest or renewal of spirit. We pray, dear God, for those in need of companionship to ease their loneliness and light their way. We pray for the world and for those who suffer the agonies of violence or of environmental destruction. Our dream is that we could be people of peace, people of mercy, people of justice, people of compassion, wherever we go and wherever we are. You have called us your children, O God, and so together we join our voices in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.